I was mentioning in the first service, it used to be cool. We'd come back from PNG, and Papua New Guinea is a country that has over 850 different languages. And so I'd throw things out like Nasaksaki Tau and Daba Idna Mona, which means good morning. And now we're in Sanford, Florida. And so we say over there, good morning. So I guess that's going to have to suffice. But it's good to be with you and see a lot of our dear friends, and just good to be back here at Mountain View, our home church, We're kind of sojourners, but Mountain View is what we consider our home church, our sending church. And, you know, we've really appreciated your partnership with us through all these years, you know, prayerfully and financially. And we believe that Mountain View Baptist Church has had a big impact overseas in seeing the Lord's work progress to very remote people groups and seeing people won to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you. And, you know, they do say in certain regions of Papua New Guinea, a certain region, Bamahuta, and we'll show that again. That's thank you in the Motu language. So one of the verses that works pretty good, this remote here, but a very important verse for Diane and myself. It's in Melanesian Pidgin, in the language lesson for this morning. But yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you, who will also bring it to pass. He will accomplish it. And we have here, Nagori bin singatim yupela, called out, singing out. He's called you. Plural. And by making him all this sell us something, he come up long you, he'll make it happen for you. He'll bring all these things to pass. Long want him because emi save behind him through all get a talk he been making. Because he does what he says and his many promises on our behalf that he'll undertake for us and meet our need. He is in control. So that's a language lesson for this morning. And, you know, we found it true, 1984, I don't know what happened. There we were, Papua New Guinea, and Josh and Kyle and Kristen. Ashley was not yet born. Josh is in San Diego now. Kristen's over in Fairfax, Virginia. Ashley's right up here in Olympia. Had a great visit with her last night at Starbucks, having some coffee, and that was good. And then Kyle is down in Long Beach and doing well, being retrained in business administration over at Clatsop Community College and in Astoria. So we've been able to reconnect as we've been back, and that's been good. You know, when we went to PNG, that's what we call Papua New Guinea. Let's shorten that. PNG in 1984, we did an orientation at what the kids called the ant house. And that's where we lived for almost a year, learning Melanesian Pidgin, being able to communicate, organizing, getting our building supplies into the tribe, and so on and so forth. And you can imagine why they called it the ant house. And lots of ants, get used to that. We're right almost on the equator there, not much, just that roof, no insulation. So it was like bread raising at times in an oven. I mean, it was terribly hot, but God is good. He allowed us to keep on keeping on there. And I'm going to move it ahead here now. Now I'm running. Okay, there we are. We moved in the tribe. That's Gigana Village. We got our supplies in once a month, and the Lord allowed us to be there for many years. And if you notice, a lot of jungle there. A lot of jungle. We were out there somewhere in the jungles of West New Britain, and that's our airstrip where our little aircraft would land. This is our house, and we lived there for many years. Thank God the Moke people gave us the timber for this house, and we used an Alaskan mill and a steel chainsaw, and we got our materials that way, and that's where we lived. Thank God for that accommodation. There we were, 1987, Seahawks. Okay, there we go, Seahawks. And Well, we weren't there to do a reality show. I mean, I like the Yukon Men and all this type of stuff going on Discovery Channel. But actually, we were there to get God's word to these people in their language. This is Ida Tapongan Ilawangan Mach. Our creator, his talk, it comes. And these people are excited about it. They are running through the village. We have announced that the evangelistic teaching is going to start in their village. And they're pretty excited that God's word is coming to their village. And we have about a three-month evangelistic, a phase one teaching in the language of the people. And then the gospel is presented. And we have here in the Moke language, Isak Golsak Lanagach Tan Jesus. Their stomachs go strong towards Jesus. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we want to accomplish, see people one to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today amongst the Moke people, we have about 15 churches. This is the church in Gigana. This shot was taken about 2 years ago. And these guys are pretty intent on what is being taught. And we praise God for these folks out in the jungles of West New Britain, wanting to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Today they're reaching out to the Lucy tribe. Moke missionaries with an NTM missionary reaching out. The NTM missionary is the son of our former co-worker, Mark Zook. He's going to do the he's doing the translating. And the Moke missionaries are the ones that are doing the teaching. So they're reaching out. They're having an impact. You know, we went up to the highlands in 1992, we went up to the highlands, and we were taught at the Missionary Training Center, teaching Papua New Guinea Christians and cross-cultural missionary techniques. Then down to Port Moresby, where we served as government representatives for New Tribes Mission, and we developed a lot of relationships during that time. And just take a look at this. This is our Bible study group called the Shalom Group, and we have people from Malaysia here. We have people from the Philippines, people from Papua New Guinea, people from Australia, all fellowshipping together, and even a couple Americans right there. So we're thankful. We're thankful for the Lord for allowing us to be there and just to be fellowshipping and to serve Him. And we think about mission work and what it takes to accomplish, reaching a lost world for the Lord Jesus Christ, even living in our the community of Centralia here, Lewis County. I believe it takes TNT. And TNT, when we hear that, what do we think? We think of a stick of powder and a fuse, and okay, boom. And I used to work in the logging industry, and we used TNT, and it was effective but destructive. Today, the TNT I'm talking about, it's effective, very powerful, but not destructive. It actually builds up and yields a good result. And I'm talking about tenacity and teamwork. Tenacity and teamwork, that's what it takes to get the job done overseas or in Lewis County. And tenacity, we think about, when we think of that word, we think about a doggedness, or we think about a persevering. We think about a clinging, such as what is going on with this person who's climbing the mountain. You can think just climbing and clinging, not letting loose, not giving up. And this is a shot of an aircraft. You saw it in one of the earlier slides, DKO Delta Kilo Oscar. And that was one of the aircraft that was used to supply us on a monthly basis. We'd get our supplies in once a month. And one afternoon, this plane took off with a pilot, his wife, two small children, their two kids, and an elderly couple flying back to Hoskins, a 45-minute flight that was out on the coast. And not too long after it took off, we heard over the radio that it had gone down in the Bismarck Sea. I thought, oh, no. What has happened? Praise God, everybody was rescued. And later on, we heard details. The pilot, he actually had, this aircraft was sinking, he swam down, and cut his daughter loose, cut her seatbelt, and got her out. She was waiting on Dad to rescue her. And then the elderly couple, they got out there at the surface of the water. She could swim. He couldn't. And so you can imagine, she's treading water, and he's probably, you know, trying to tread water, and they're clinging to each other, and he's telling her, "Let me go. Save yourself." This came out later. "Let me go. Save yourself." And she says, "I'm not letting you go." And she clung to him. She hung on to him. A tenacious grip. And I think that is a good illustration, you know, as we think of tenacity, not giving up, not letting go. And you know, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, we're in his hand. No one's going to get us out of his hand. He's not letting us go. And he wants us to cling to him and stand on the promises of his word. So I'm thinking of a story in the book of Ruth, and I just want to read that, and our time is flying by this morning. But just a few scriptures from Ruth chapter 1, and starting with verse 1, we know the story of Ruth, but let's refresh ourselves just a little bit on it. It says, "Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land, no food, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab." He went to sojourn. He wasn't going to stay there very long. Went to Moab. He entered the land. They remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's son, he died. And she was left with her two sons. And they took for themselves Moabite women as wives. One was Orpah. The other was Ruth. It tells us this in verse 4. And then these two boys, they died. Okay, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. And then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and giving them food. So they'd initially gone over to Moab because they heard that was food was there, and then terrible things happened. Naomi's husband died, and then her sons got married, and their wife, they died. And so then Naomi heard, "Hey, there's food back in Judah. I'm going back." Initially, the two girls were going to, daughter-in-laws were going to go with her. And then she tried to convince them, as the story goes, "You guys stay back in the land of Moab. Go back to your folks." And she was rather insistent, and Orpah heeded that, and one of the daughter-in-laws, and went back to her people, stayed in that land. But Ruth, she said, "I'm hanging with you." And, you know, here's a little bit Melanesian pidgin. And it says here, Ruth, okay, Ruth means companion and friend. And Naomi means pleasant. And maybe Ruth saw something. I don't know why. She saw something in Naomi. And tasa Ruthi talk. You know can talk me long, you lose you. Now you know can pass me long, you go one time you. Hey, she says to Naomi, she says, "Don't talk to me about leaving you, all right? And don't stop me from going with you, okay? I'm not leaving you, I'm going with you." And she says, "I'll get a place you stop long in, me too, by me stop long in. Every place you go, I'm there. Line bedong you, by you come up line bedong me. Your people are going to be my people. Now God bedong you, by you come up God bedong me, and your God is my God. So take that, Naomi." And so then she went on. She said, "Place you die long in, me too, by me die long in. Where you die, I'm dying. Now all they can plant me long this old place." How do you like that? Word for bury. You know, we'd say, "Well, they can bury me there. They can plant me there. Planting me. They can plant me there. Me no can lot in one pella something. They can brook me to pella diet house. All they can brook me to pella." So there's nothing, nothing that is going to separate us except death. That's tenacity. That's clinging. That's going along and not giving up. And we see this demonstrated in Ruth's life. And Naomi, I don't think at that time, okay, to tell you the truth, I don't think Naomi at that time was a very pleasant person to be with in a lot of ways. You know how it is when you're around somebody that's down and you're trying to pick them up, and it's not, you know, it's kind of wearing. But yet Ruth was going with Naomi. You know, when Naomi came back to Bethlehem and said, "Hey, isn't that Naomi? Come back. She's come back. You guys were all, you're all Moab." And Naomi responds, says, "Hey, don't call me Naomi. Don't, you know, it means pleasant." She says, "Not, call me Mara, bitter. Call me Mara, bitter." She says, "You know, I went out full, I've come back empty. You know what's gone on in my life? You know what's happened?" She said, don't talk to me about this pleasant stuff. Life is not good. You know, and she wasn't really seeing the big picture. And how can you at this time, caught up in these circumstances? You know, there's times in life is wearisome, and doesn't seem like God is there. You know, you just feel like, you know, what's the use? What's the use? But, you know, our Lord is there. He's very much with us, even if we don't sense it at the time. Nothing is beyond his control. Not a thing. He knows every little detail. And Naomi wasn't quite seeing that right at that time, but later on she would. You know, we need to also realize we're involved in a great work. I think maybe Ruth realized she was involved, you know, in a great work as she looked out for Naomi and went back with her. And, you know, I think of Nehemiah, and he was accomplishing that work, building that wall, and the people were working together, and they had the gates were put up, but the doors weren't hung yet. And then these two enemies that they'd been adversaries, Sanballat and Geshem, they said, sent a message to Nehemiah, "Come down, meet with us." And he said, "Hey, I knew they were going to harm me. I knew they were going to cause me harm." He said, he sent a response to him. He said, "I am doing a great work. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?" I think, folks, we need to realize that we're involved in a great work for our Lord Jesus Christ. And that keeps us keeping on for our Lord Jesus Christ. I think Ruth realized she was involved in a very important work. And they went back, and Ruth, very tenacious, and there's the translation, I didn't put it up, of the scriptures of Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. You know, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death, part you and me." She was hanging with Naomi. Another thing that we just want to consider briefly this morning is teamwork. Working together as a team, no hot dogging. Teamwork, simply stated, it's less me and more we. Working together, and working together in harmony. And they were a team. Naomi, she provided the guidance back to Bethlehem. Also, she provided some words, some advice to Ruth. So far as a relationship with Boaz, Ruth, she went out and gleaned barley in the field, helped supply them with, as they say in Papua New Guinea, kai kai. That's the word for food. And Ruth also provided the way to a secure future. She married this fellow by the name of Boaz. And we see here, Melanesian pigeon, guys, Almeri Tokim Naomi, all the same. After Ruth was married to Boaz, and there was a child, a son, and they told Naomi this. They didn't tell Ruth this after Ruth had born a son. "Lift him up in name, badong big pillow, now emi, give him one pillow, pickney man long you. Disala pickney emi, tumbuna badong you, now embai, look out in you. Emi can kiss him big name, long all line badong Israel. Tambu badong you, he like him you too much. Now you savvy like him em too. Suppose you been, he got seven pella pickney man." Seven pella pickney man. Seven sons. "Suppose you have seven sons, all right, You know enough, like him all the same. You like him. This is a Tom Bumeri belong you. Your daughter-in-law, Ruth, Tom Bumeri. All the same, now this is a pigly man now, Emmy Karim. Okay, the son that's born to her. And by helping sin down belong you, it's going to help your life. It's going to help your situation. Now, what's good long you, long time you come up lapoon. When you're old, going to be caring for you. Wow. What words of encouragement. Things have begun to turn around. And I believe this time, Naomi is seeing, hey, there's good things. I went through some adversity, some tough times. But, you know, God is bringing some things to light, some blessing into my life. And, here's the English translation. Praise be the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. They said this to Naomi. And, I see tenacity. I see teamwork in this story of Ruth and Naomi. And it benefited, as they worked together, they saw good results come into their lives. They saw their situation improve. But ultimately, if we consider these guys, we think of Boaz married Ruth, and then we have Obed, then Jesse, then David, then who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Tenacity and teamwork. And we see a result that is so awesome and will last for eternity. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what the Lord would like us to be, thinking about as we serve him, keeping on, and working together as a team. You know, I think of missionaries in Papua New Guinea. Here's the map of Papua New Guinea. And you see these red zones here? Those are the malarial zones. There's a lot of missionaries out here. And this is one of the things that they have to battle. And they have to, at times, they get sick with malaria, but they have to keep on keeping on. Take our pills, get better, and keep on working for the Lord, because the Lord has brought me here. They must have that confidence. And right here, the white zone, that's where we don't have much malaria. That's more in the highlands. And I think about the Beam people. Now, the Beam people, they're out here on the island near Wewak, probably more like this, little island. And there's a couple missionary families that are there. And, they've had to work through some tough times. And I mentioned in the earlier service about just missionaries learning language and culture. And how you walk down into the village and you're trying to learn this language, and the people are speaking so fast. And one of my favorite practical expressions was, "Wom." When I talk with an individual and they're trying to give me some Oak language, I'd say, "Wom am wai molil molil." You, "Wom am am wai molil molil." You talk slowly, slowly. That's what I needed. You know, that was one of my favorite expressions. And just learning that language and culture is a trial at times. But missionaries have to keep on going, being tenacious in their study. And the Buzers and the Chens, and I mentioned about Gail Chen, who had breast cancer out there on that island. And then it was discovered she had breast cancer. She was learning the language and culture of the Beam people, had to go back to Taiwan, be treated, came on back, then went back again to Taiwan for another treatment, came on back. But I think Gail and Wayne very much convinced in their minds that this is where God wants us to be, on this island of being. And so the language and culture was learned. The teaching began in the language of the Beam people this year. And here's the Beam in traditional dress. And here's a group of guys, believers from the Sepik, came over to encourage the Beam people. Keep listening to this teaching. There's good things coming. And here's the first Beam literacy class. These people have learned to read and write in their own language. They'll be able to get a Bible lesson in their own language and be able to read that and grow in their understanding of the Lord's Word. And the teaching, we have a three-month teaching program called a Phase 1, the Evangelistic Phase. And in this teaching here, you know, we read this. One of the men said when contemplating what they were learning, he says, I see that this talk is like our coconut trees. That's what he says. We haven't yet heard of the road man. Can you believe that? We haven't yet heard of the road man. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the road man. But he must be the food at the top of the tree. You know, this guy, they hadn't been taught on the New Testament. You know, New Testament where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he says, this guy, he must be the food at the top of the tree. And just like there's no way to get the food but by starting to climb at the bottom, there's no way to get to that food, but we've got to start at the bottom. We too are understanding bit by bit and slowly climbing, and soon we will know of him. It's very interesting how the Papua New Guinean people think of the tree. You go from the bottom to the top. The Moke people told us, Umu umapahe imi batne la guhno. You have taught us from the top, bottom to the top. You haven't left anything out. And so I find this very, very interesting. And just about 2 weeks ago, Thursday, September 27, 2012, and the missionary team says, we got back to the house, head spinning, hearts floating high, and they taught the final lesson of the evangelistic teaching, presented the gospel, they addressed certain things. Why did Jesus have to die? What did that mean for us? Why had God the Father forsaken him? What did he mean? It is finished. What did the torn curtain mean? How in the world did the thief get saved? Then they acted out the resurrection, taught on the significance, finally ascension, and some more teaching. And they let the people digest that. And it says the reactions were as varied as the individuals that were in attendance. But the neat thing was to see the joy that many of these men and women wore on their faces. It sunk in. It sunk in. Jesus died on that cross for me. Jesus died on that cross for me. And he's the missionary said, this, Brooks or Brandon said, for the ones that have been faithfully coming and listening to this talk, wow. It was a culmination of hope for them. They finally know with clarity. They know with clarity. They are clear. The road that God made for them, Jesus Christ, the road man, didn't just show or make a road. He is the road. Praise God, you know, for the new Beam believers. There's been a new church planted just about 2 weeks ago. People are worshiping and praising God now on this little volcanic island out in the Bismarck Sea. And testimonies went something like this. One of the Beam believers said, Brandon, it's so clear now. I used to go to church, give money, and do good. There was a lot of Catholic influence in that particular area. They did have some churches. He says, all those things I thought would make me clean in God's eyes, you know? Go to church, give money, do good. Thought it'd make me clean in God's eyes. He says, when I slept at night, truly, I had no idea where I would go when I die. But now I know. Brandon, I'm not scared of dying anymore. Now we know why Gail, our coworker, was diagnosed with severe cancer, wasn't afraid of it either. And one friend said to the missionary, he says, I've been listening to the whole teaching, and I understand this, I believe this. I know Jesus only has straightened my sin pay. Now I understand this, and the first thing I'm going to do is tell my family. They need to hear this. They need to hear this. This first thing I'm going to do, tell my family about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and so we thank God for the tenacity and the teamwork of the Beam folks, and also the teamwork that's gone on amongst the Dinangat people. And, you know, missionary Ralph Schagel, this is in the Sepik area, they've worked on translation for 6 years. They're partway done. They've put these portions of Scripture in a hardbound copy and given it to the people, and or a bound copy. And here, Dinangat man is reading his the scriptures in his own language. This just happened not too many months ago. And the day after the translation was given out, there was a guy by the name of Jasper. He says, I'm really tired. You know, I stayed up most of the night reading my noon Bible. It was just so sweet, I couldn't stop. You know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., man, I'm reading here. Man, this is sweet. This is good stuff. And so, you know, the missionary hears this. Another guy named Felix, he expressed his heart saying, when we got those Bibles, I was so happy that I just wanted to cry. I just wanted to cry. I got God's word in my own language. It really speaks to me. And so the missionary, Ralph Schlegel, he says, you know, we as a team want, by God's grace, to finish the New Testament in the next 5 to 6 years, you know. We as a team, just about 5 or 6 more years, and we'll have this New Testament done. And they're working hard at it. But it is a long, drawn-out process. So tenacity, teamwork. Whether we're here in Lewis County, whether overseas, you know, those are two things. You know, God, help me to be tenacious. Help me to be work with my coworker. I mean, if I've got something that comes up, help me to get that sorted out and keep on keeping on for the Lord. We're in tenacity and teamwork. We're in Sanford, Florida now, and we'll talk a little bit about that later this evening. But NTM, you know, they're reaching tribes and transforming lives as we believe we're in existence to help the local church. And just some statistics, 59 translations have been completed by NTM translators, New Testaments, in different languages around the world. 6 translations were completed last year. Let's see, if I multiply 6 by a minimum of 12 years, that's about 72 years worth of work right there. And so 6 last year, and also 104 translations are in progress. And just to let you know about churches, about 1,121 churches have been planted, and also 76,169 believers, and even more now. I don't believe the Beam believers have been counted. Just some statistics. And, you know, Mountain View Baptist Church, you folks have been involved with this work in very remote areas of the world, and that should be very, very encouraging. And I wanted to bring that and share that with you folks this morning. As I say, now, what was that word that I gave you earlier on? Bamahuta, Bamahuta, in the Motu language of the Papuan region of Papua New Guinea. Diane and I, we want to say thank you, Bamahuta, for partnering with us, giving us this opportunity to share this morning, be with you. We really appreciate it. And as the Moak would say when they finished the talk, a rather lengthy one. I'm very short. Moak people would go on for, oh, man, a long time, back and forth. Lugu Wangan Yagos, my talk is finished.